Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Too Many Trailers. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Kelsey.
And we have a really exciting episode for you guys.
Kind of like blockbustery, one would say.
Absolutely. Very blockbustery.
It's the blockbuster episode.
Oh my gosh, the blockbuster episode? I thought that was our like summer thrillers
one. I mean, true, but also, it used to be a store. Blockbuster.
Kelsey's like, no, I was making a pun and you didn't follow it. And I was like, yep, you're right.
How is that a pun? No, you know what?
Not a pun, but like a joke. A
reference.
Reference, whatever. Marianne didn't get it.
If we can create a graphic on our Instagram and it's Blockbuster and it's just too many trailers, I'm going to do that as soon as I go to work tomorrow.
I was like, probably not after this tonight. Because I'm going to bed.
I'm passing out. But not before we talk about our two trailers today.
Which are Little Women.
And Star Wars.
Rise of Skywalker.
Which is a really weird title.
Yep, we're going to talk about
it. We will talk about that. So, do you want to, quick to go. Do you want to just jump right
in? Yeah, let's jump right in. We're jumping right into the behind the trailer packs before we hit the 1 minute and 30 second mark.
Honestly, amazing. I don't know what I was going to say, but I was just like,
speechless.
So, Little Women, it comes out on Christmas, December 25th.
Because it is a Christmas film.
Honestly, it is. First quarter of the book takes place during Christmas and the new year. And then it goes off to 10 years.
Well.
Anyway, it comes out on December 25th. The director is Greta Gerwig, and so is the writer, Greta Gerwig.
Greta Gerwig is now a pretty big name.
Huge.
After her amazing work on Lady Bird.
So good.
Which is so great. Also starring Saoirse Ronan.
Yep.
The composer is Alexandra Desplat, who we know.
Oh, God, what a great choice.
Right?
Oh, he's so, like, effervescent and, like, esoteric. And, like, that's kind of, like, what I feel like Little Women, I get the vibe of. So, that great choice. Great choice.
I know. I read his name and I was like, this fits perfectly.
Yes.
But I have to tell you that when I was writing him down, I, like, so where I wrote it in my notes, it's, like, right under where it's the title for Star Wars is at the top of the page. Mm-hmm. So part of me thought, like, in a fog of my brain... thought that I was writing that Alexandra Desplat was going to be the composer for Star Wars.
And leave my main guy, John Williams, behind.
I was like, really? This is an interesting choice right at the end of the series and all that. We're really ditching John Williams and throwing him to the wind.
Fuck you, John Williams. We're going with Alexandra Desplat to write Ray's theme.
I was like, that's an interesting choice because... Alexandra Desplat, and I was like, has he ever done any, like, action-y films?
No.
He has.
Really?
Because literally, I, honest to God, thought that he was composing for this because that's where my brain was at when I was writing my notes. So, like, prepare yourself
Wait,
for this
what
episode.
Did he do?
So I was like, oh my God, what have you done that's gonna make me convinced that you're gonna do a good job with this? So I, like, searched through only for action-y films. He did Godzilla, not the King of the Monsters.
Is this the one?
But the newer one.
King of the Monsters?
No.
The
not
newer.
The newest one, but like that.
Oh, the one with Bryan Cranston.
And Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
He also did two of the Harry Potter films, but the last ones. The seven part one and two.
That makes sense because
which
that one
are
is
much
like
action-y.
More action, but also extremely depressing.
Which, like, Star Wars.
Star Wars? Extremely depressing.
Anyways. He also did... This was pretty surprising. I was like, I had to, like, do a triple take. He did Zero Dark Thirty. Right? That was my face,
I'm
too.
Making a very confused face for the people that can't see my face, which is everyone but Marianne, so... What? Okay. I mean...
Oh, no.
No. Do I get it? No.
I like that Kelsey was going to be like, I get it. And I was like, no, we don't get it.
No,
this doesn't
I don't
make any
get
sense.
It. No, because, I mean, like, he does more, like, string composing.
Yes. He does airy, light, beautiful.
Effervescent,
and
esoteric.
And he can do, like, a nice, And honestly, I was like preparing myself for how I was going to talk about how he was going to do on Star Wars. And I was like, you know what? He would probably write a beautiful score.
Honestly.
For an action scene. Like, if you think about, like, in The Last Jedi, that, like, those nice, like, big action-y shots and, like, when the ship is blowing up.
Yes.
That, like, how beautiful
that is. Like, the crescendo kind of, like, big airy orchestra type thing.
Yes. Yeah. He would be able. He would do a fine job on Star Wars. All right. Alexander Desplat, I would never doubt
this
you.
Is a call to action to Disney. We need Alexander Desplat in the second season of The Mandalorian. He needs to write Baby Yoda's theme. I am going to push this. I'm going to tweet at people. I'm going to tweet at Alexander Desplat to get his ass to the Disney lot.
Get over there.
Make Baby Yoda's theme, please.
Make
Thank
it
you.
Happen.
Anyway, back to Little Women.
Right. Anyway, back to the film we're actually discussing.
Yes. We should say that this movie is based off the book by Louisa May Alcott.
And it is not the first film adaptation.
It's like the third, I feel like.
The most recent one besides this was the 1994.
With Christian Bale and...
I just found out today. It's one of my notes.
It's with Christian Bale and then
Susan Sarandon, Winona Ryder, Kirsten Dunst,
peak child actress Kirsten Dunst. That's what I was gonna say.
It's her era.
So let's go through the cast. We have Saoirse Ronan. We have Emma Watson, Timothy Chalamet, Florence Pugh. Hands up, rainbow sparkle.
Yeah,
let's do a sparkle.
I have some high hopes for her in Black Widow.
Okay, yes.
In the Black Widow film, I would really love for her to be anywhere on
the LGBT spectrum.
Somewhere Scarlett Johansson or without Scarlett Johansson, but it's a big want for me.
Yeah,
that's it.
Okay. I mean, honestly, great. We have Eliza Sandlin. We have Laura Dern. We have...
That's
your hands up, Rainbow Connection.
Okay, so Laura Dern, who also, interestingly enough, is our big bridge between Little Women and Star Wars.
I completely forgot about
How
that.
How interesting. Laura Dern plays Amelyn Holdo in Star Wars The Last Jedi. And there was a prequel book written about Princess Leia, and that prequel book talked about how Amelyn and Leia may have grown up together and, like, gone to school together. It's obviously not written by George Lucas, so it's not, like, necessarily canon material. But Leia and Amelyn have conversations about Amelyn pretty much identifying as pansexual. She says that she doesn't feel limited to just be interested in humanoid males. She thinks that's a very limiting, like, spectrum of who you could love or be attracted to. So we got some queers in Star Wars, y'all.
Hell yeah. We have Tracy Letts, Bob Odenkirk, which people may know him from Better Call Saul or Breaking Bad. We have James Norton, Lewis Garrell, Chris Cooper, and the one, the only, Meryl Streep. All right, so let's jump right into the discussion of Little Women. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da.
There we go.
Oh my God, I love this music so much, so much. It honestly, every single time I watch it, I, like, forgot to, like, take notes because I was just, like, listening to the music. And I feel like this is a good soundtrack.
It's
like,
going to be amazing. It's going to be, like, the way that I listen to the Pride and Prejudice soundtrack, like, nonstop all the time for a long time. I'm going to listen to this for a long time.
So it starts out with our dreaded intro, but I feel like they're getting creative, at least, with it now.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. I was like, okay, I guess I'm not that mad about it.
I mean, like, at least they're like, oh, this is, like, Joe, Meg, Amy, and Beth, or whatever, like, order they do. And I think that was a great way to just be like, this is Little Women.
I just wish they hadn't done that again in the trailer.
Yeah, I wish they would have.
I was like, guys, because it's like a very hard cut and like very fast, and I was like, yeah. All right, we didn't need to do it both times.
I mean, like, at least like when they do the intros, they like kind of subvert it where it's at least edited differently, mm. and where it's kind of being like, this is not the new thing, this is a new thing, but it's not at the same time, even though you just saw it in the first
right
time.
Even though yeah. you just saw it 28 seconds ago. Let me reintroduce you to the March sisters.
So I was happy at least they're getting creative with it to kind of like spice up the intros, right. where it's not just like action 5 4 3
oh, 2 my lord,
where it's worst. We don't need that in 2020, people,
please.
The one thing I asked for trailers in 2020: no intros.
Please.
Please, for the love of God.
Thank you. Too many trailers.
Sincerely, Marianne and Kelsey had too many trailers.
Do we quickly want to talk about our connection to Little Women?
Yes. Yes. I literally just read the book for the first time.
Literally, Kelsey just finished it like a few days ago.
Yeah, it was amazing. I don't know why. I rated it 4 out of 5 stars if anyone is curious. I thought that it was, I mean, granted, this is a book from 1868, so obviously it's going to be long, and like, because they didn't have like anything but books and like Greek mythology, so I feel
it's sorry, true. I love it because
it's true.
And I know, but it was just really funny that you were like, they didn't have anything except for books and Greek mythology.
So it was, I mean, granted, the copy I had was like 700 and something pages mm-hmm. long, where mostly it's probably around like 400
it's
pages.
400 something.
And so I mostly listen to audiobook, which I think the Liverbox recording is really good because of the fact that they have different actors for every character.
Oh, good.
Which I thought was very nice because it wasn't like just someone like making voices. So I recommend that. That is free in the public domain, I believe. So I just read the book. I loved it. Again, some things could have been like taken out and moved forward, but that's my critique for all classic literature, because mm-hmm. it's classic literature and they didn't understand this concept of you don't have to describe something in like 6 different ways, even though they're getting paid by
the
word.
Or
so
by the page.
That's why I don't like Charles Dickens, because he's
literally paid by
the word.
And he was like, let me use 84 words to describe the color blue.
So I literally would fall asleep every time I would read his books, but I really liked it. I think it was really interesting because most classic literature is made by, if it was written by a woman, they were mostly affluent women.
Yes.
And I feel like this book is really a good look into women that are not affluent and very kind of in the lower end of society in the American Victorian era, which I thought was really, really good, especially, you know, the husband is, you know, Mr. March, he is... coming back from war and everything, and so they're really struggling, and I really like that idea of people coming together, like sisters or, you know, women coming together in a time of struggle and really just supporting each other. And I thought it was just a really good message, especially, you know, this book does to me hold, again, I have a very biased opinion. I am a white cis woman, so I can relate to this book really, really well. And so I feel like, I should say a white cis heterosexual woman, so I have even more of a connection to this book. So that's kind of why I felt a really good connection, especially to Jo. But we'll get to that when we discuss more of Jo's character as to why I relate to her more. But I mean, I thought it was a really good book, and I'll discuss more of why I like this story as a whole once we get into the more trailer talk. How about you?
So my sister really loved the 1994 movie. We used mm-hmm. to watch it all the time, or at least she did, and most of it went really over my head because she was watching it probably when I was like 5 or 6, so I really related well to young Amy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just in terms of, I was like, I'm young,
right.
She's the youngest, this is great. So I have like this, the strongest memory I have for this is the scene where she falls through the ice. That's like a thing I think that
yes.
probably, you know, there was
scared
a strong
you?
Era where we did a lot of like falling through the ice,
like the
mid
90s were like heavy. Well, I mean, granted, this
let
was
me,
written in
like
1868, but like this, like specifically, like people would go out of their way to write shit in to be like, oh, we're going to make
you
them.
You fail through the ice.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, God, this will happen. But so that's like just a strong memory that I think like every time I would think of like Little Women, I would see like the cover of the VHS and the scene where Amy falls into the ice, and that was it.
Yeah.
But then I read the book in sixth grade, mm-hmm. and that was a bad choice because I was reading it for an assignment. And
that makes the book so less enjoyable.
No, I like
me,
I chose
least,
it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
To read
yeah.
it for the assignment, but I had to rush through the end. Mm. And there's one spot I will never forget. Probably like it's pretty close to the end, so like three quarters of the way in, and there's a scene where somebody's walking over a bridge, or she's describing a bridge,
yeah.
and it's like five pages.
Oh, it's
and
like,
I honestly
you're like, calm the fuck on.
I was like. I literally remember, like, feeling stressed and going to my mom being like, we're still talking about the same bridge we were talking about 10 minutes ago, and I really don't know what to
That's
do.
That's, like, one of the same things
and
I'm talking
about. And my
mom
was like, just skip it. And I was like, I can't just skip it. I don't know when this is going to become less important.
That's, like, my problem with classic literature. It's like, hard. They just, like, want to keep describing the same thing because they have nothing else to do. I love the Sherlock Holmes stories. I love, like, those stories. But sometimes there are stories where you're like, there's no point to it. Why?
Why are you still talking about this?
The Greek
thing?
Interpreter is my least favorite one because it's like this dude who's just like setting up shit and you're like, this could have ended in two pages.
Right.
God damn it.
I know. We could have written about a bridge in one sentence.
Yeah.
But it took us five pages.
Because
and I was like,
she
no,
was.
No.
Granted, they're also, you know, Alcott is a female writer who did put, you know, shocking, who did, I think she like had a pseudonym. Like a male, obviously, like with all female writers of the time. So I think that she was just like, look, I'm a writer. I'm a guy who can write, like, type of thing. Like,
yeah.
So.
No, I know. I just, that's like my other strong memory of it is like liking the book,
but
then getting to
points.
That point and like feeling stressed about it.
Right. I mean, that's you, though.
Thank you.
I'm not surprised. No one's surprised.
There's a small Buffy reference in. Like a small reference to Little
right.
Woman in Buffy, and that's the other thing.
Yeah,
that comes to
I've
my head
never
when I think
seen the other movies. Though.
You haven't seen the 1994 adaptation?
I've never seen.
I was thinking that we should watch both.
I think we should. I think
okay.
we should do a Flashpoint episode regarding it.
Yeah.
You
I have the
first?
VHS in my house.
Who has a V? Do you have a VHS player? Okay,
sure do.
Good. Okay. I mean, granted, I can just buy the DVD.
We could also do that. Yes, absolutely. But I was
because,
just thinking that I have it at home. Because
young Christian Bale. As Laurie.
Dude, I found out today,
that's
because
insane.
The last time I watched this was probably 1999, and Christian Bale wasn't doing anything with his life at that
point.
He was,
like, just starting his, like, acting abilities, like, granted, he was also 1994 and has an impeccable American accent, which I still can't believe he's British.
I know.
Y'all.
Shocks me.
Christian
every
Bale is British.
Just a reminder.
Just a reminder
everybody.
To you. But yeah.
All right.
So
we have some strong feelings.
Strong, very strong feelings.
But all good.
Skewing positive, I feel like.
Yes.
So we start out where Joe is walking. I think it's in the streets of New York City, if my memory serves me correctly. And she's walking, but there's like flashbacks to her. Like her mm-hmm. running through the woods wistfully with her hair and... And then it's like kind of like a voiceover of her meeting her publisher.
Yeah.
So, you know, you start with that. And I think that it's a kind of a good setup to understand the perspective
of
this,
Joe.
Of
I
Joe.
Know. I was like, honestly, like I heard the first, like her first like opening bit there. And I was like, you gotta love Joe.
You
like,
gotta love Joe. It's like a 90s sitcom. You gotta love Joe. And I think it like, I think it just was very, like, cinematically, it was very nice to look at.
Yes.
It was, the colors
it's a
were
beautiful film.
Muted, but, like, very, like, bright, though? It's
yeah.
hard to describe.
Well, it's a very similar feeling to Lady Bird.
Yes.
Like, in terms of, like, color scheme and,
like
how it felt.
Like, the 70s type of color scheme, where it was, like, muted colors, but vibrant?
But also, like, bright yellows, but they were muted? Like,
muted.
A male bright yellow. A male.
A male.
Gotta go to
colors
bed.
Have genders now.
Like, a pale, like, bright yellow.
Yeah, exactly. Like
it's, like, 70s.
Like, in the blue, like, the baby,
yeah.
like, teal blue that...
Look at me talking about color like
look
I know
at,
what I'm
look
doing.
Look at that. Look at you. Look at us.
2 years. Progress.
2 years. And I think it was just a beautiful, like, effervescent opening to a very effervescent movie and book. But I feel like, I mean, the book, to me, felt very progressive to a point.
Well, it was very
progressive. It was, yeah, so good to know.
Absolutely.
I feel like, and especially this is definitely, like, shown in this trailer.
Yes.
That this is a modern adaptation.
They're telling you we are in the time of 1800s.
But, like, not at the same time, though? To me, like, it felt very modern.
Okay.
Like, the way, like, there's this big trend of, like, modern interpretations. You see that with, like, the Emma trailer with our number one fan, Bill Nighy. He is in the Emma film. And I feel like, and then there's,
You're right. That's highly modernized. I would say...
There's, like, a few...
I guess a little bit.
It's, like, kind of starting to be the trend, I feel like, because, like, adaptions of classic novels are coming back.
And because, like, you're right, and you're trying to set this apart from the 1994 adaptation.
Right, so you're trying to make it something different, but new. I mean, you see that in the trailer where Joe is talking to Aunt March, and, you know, she's like, I don't have to get married, and, you know, and Aunt March is like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. I'm rich.
But, like, no, Joe, and then Joe goes, but you're not married, and she goes, well, I'm rich, so. Which is, like, not what people in the 1800s would necessarily, you would portray people, like, rich people in the 1800s to say.
I don't know.
In my own viewing of things.
I don't know, because I felt like it was Aunt March is that very similar character to, like, a lot of those Jane Austen, like,
right.
Rich,
aristocratic
kind of.
I do agree with that, but I also can put the point out that it's, you know, it's done in a way where it's
right.
very
It's blunted a little bit, but I feel like she's playing that, like, stereotypical, like, very characterized, like, very of the time, like, blunt, rich, mm-hmm. older.
I found it so casual, like, just so, like, blasé, like, well, it's like, well, I'm, like, it's so sarcastic, like, the writing is very modern.
Yeah.
It's just what I'm trying to say, I guess. It's, like, it's not your typical, like, and here we are, sitting in the room, you have to get married, and Joe go, oh, no, but you're not married, and be like, well, I'm rich. It's like, no, I'm rich, like, it, to me, it was just a very casual conversation, rather, which is, like, what you would have in a normal atmosphere where no one would talk. I mean, you wouldn't be like, hey, fuckers, what's up? You would be like, you wouldn't say that, but you would say, like, well, there would be, like, an air of casualness to it, which you can see in the movie from what the trailer's presenting. I love the vibe, and I love the music. It's amazing. I can't stop talking about the goddamn music.
Oh my gosh, I also wrote an exact note that says, I love the vibe.
Oh my god. Vibe twins.
The music was just, like, very well timed throughout, and it's very beautiful. I think it's gonna be...
Especially, like, the key change of the film, where they're like, this is all happy, and then things are like, no, things are really, like, taking a turn here.
Yeah, and then when Joe goes into her, speech.
Right, with Laurie.
Where she, like, is like, women can do more, and I want women to be more, and all of this. The music changed very well to, like, reflect. And it was a very well edited.
Extremely well edited. Extremely well edited, especially because they stopped doing, like, the fade-out cuts.
Yeah.
Like, a second into the movie. And I was like, oh, thank you so much.
I was like, Kelsey's going to be so happy.
I am so happy about that. It gave good understanding to, like, the overall themes, I feel like, of the movie. And, I want to talk a little bit about Joe, though, especially in this interpretation. So, there is this new book. I forgot who the author is. I'm so sorry. It's called Meg and Joe. It's a modern interpretation of Little Women, and I feel like they really captured the essence, at least on the cover. I mean, I'm just going off of, like, very biased. And they really understand how she is more kind of, like, not a gender type of person,
but she is queer.
She is definitely queer. Oh, 100% going on. Either if she's, like, asexual or something, or, you know, aromantic, or... No, I don't call her aromantic. I'll call her asexual. She gave a lot of, like, ace vibes to me. Or a lot of like a gender type of vibes, because she was very like, I don't want to do this. Granted, this is like also the 1800s, so anything against the grain.
Which I read as gay, because I was like, you don't want to do this and you don't want to be with this person,
right?
Because
of these reasons.
And
but
you
yeah,
feel these other feelings,
right? And it's like, especially like, which was a great, great bookend to the trailer, where you know the blah, blah, blah. The publisher was like, well, that she has to get married by the end of the
book. So who does
book.
She marry?
Exactly. And Joe's just like, huh.
I know.
Which I thought was a wonderful bookend, especially because it started with the publisher. And that's
yeah,
what the whole
right?
book is about, is her writing her life and trying to get it published by, you know, a
yeah.
book author. And it gave me very good vibes and queer vibes. And I really just like Joe as a character. And I just, I know I'm going to like this movie. And I feel like a lot of people are going to like this movie, because Greta Gerwig can just direct extremely well. I feel like she, you
yeah.
saw it in Frances. I think she did Frances Ha, right?
She did do Frances Ha.
And Lady Bird. She knows how to do character films and character
yeah.
studies. I feel like this is a fantastic portrait to undertake for her.
Yeah, this was a really good choice.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Saoirse Ronan is going to do a lot better in this than she did in Mary, Queen of Scots.
Oh, yes. I feel like...
Because that's
yeah.
the last thing she's coming off of.
Oh,
so
God.
It's really hard, because I know, when I saw that they casted Saoirse Ronan to play Jo, I was like, this could go really well, or this could go really bad.
Because there's...
But then there's also, like... But I was not surprised, because I knew Greta Gerwig was doing it,
right.
So I was like... All right, she's probably going to try and get Saoirse Ronan involved, but
that script was
also
horrible.
Sure.
So there's a lot of factors. I mean, the script is obviously really good. You already have a good base with the book. You
right.
have Greta Gerwig, who is writing this adaptation,
right.
which is already going to be good, because she can understand these characters, especially from a female perspective,
yes.
which is what this book is in. And I feel like you can just understand that she knows how to write a film. And she knows what to... take away what
and
to
I think
replace.
It'll be good, because they've worked well together. Like
yeah.
if you think about like Saoirse Ronan's like standout thing, you think of like Brooklyn, and you think of
Lady Bird, yeah.
And like, so her and Greta make a very good combination. I think
they're
that,
a good tag team.
Work.
They're going to be like the Scorsese well, and Robert De Niro of our generation. I feel like, and I feel like it's just going to be a good movie. It's going to be great to watch in theaters. I mean, the music
yeah.
alone. Yeah, but like
so
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it sounds like we're both going to see this film, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going together.
Yeah.
And then I think I do want to read the book again.
I think, like, honestly, refresh your memory.
Yeah,
because
it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been
sixth
since
grade was a long time ago.
Almost 20 years.
Oh, fuck.
About 5 years off of that, so. But yeah, no, I think I'm definitely going to see it in theaters. I think
yeah.
I want to see it in theaters. I think that whether it be Bargain Tuesday or not, I think I want to see it full price, but I feel like if I see it bargain, I won't be mad about it.
Right.
Like, I feel like I'm still putting money towards
right.
this movie, and I feel like, if anything, I could always rewatch it on Netflix, because this movie will definitely be on Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of those films.
I'm probably also going to go with my mom and my sister, because
yeah.
we used, I think my mom would sit and watch Little Women with us also sometimes. So.
Yeah, it's just like a
probably
good bonding film.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Great. Well, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with Star Wars, The Rise of
Skywalker. All right. Welcome back from that little break. So now we're going to come back to talk about Star Wars.
The Rise of Skywalker.
I really like your dedication to saying his name like that.
Like a 1920s vaudeville presenter.
Skywalker.
Oh my
right.
gosh.
So we've covered multiple Star Wars related
things.
I would
say
in the past.
Three? Two? Two.
Yeah, I would say two.
Two, we've done... Did we do Solo?
We did Solo.
We did Solo.
With a guest.
Brendan.
Yeah.
Have we done any others?
Didn't we do The Last Jedi? Oh, no, that was
no,
2 years ago.
That was
it?
2 years ago. I don't think we've done...
Well, then we've done one Star
we've
Wars
We've done one Star
thing.
Wars.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Good for us. So Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, December 20th it releases. So, yeah, so right as of this recording, Christmas. Which is, I think, a good idea.
It's a good move.
I mean, I think Little Women got the pick.
And I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, you can, there's a lot of things you can, I don't know how to say this.
I think I understand what you're
trying
to say.
It's a good choice to put it out a little bit before Christmas because you're still going to get people if
right.
you put it out before Christmas.
Exactly.
They could, literally, Star Wars could come out whenever the fuck it wants and it would still make $1.5 billion.
Right.
But
they choose to do it
in December.
They always do it December.
Works
I mean,
out well.
My family and I tend to always go do it's Christmassy.
I meant wintry.
My family always tends to go to the movies either on Christmas or the day after Christmas, and we usually see Star Wars. That's been our tradition the last few years it's been out, so we'll see what's going on. Either that or Little Women. Granted, I don't think my dad will see Little Women, so...
He should, though.
He should. He'll love Bob Odenkirk, because they share a name. It's like, I like the Bob Odenkirk guy, because my name is also Bob. You're like, all right, Dad.
All right, Bob.
All right, Bob. So the director is J.J. Abrams. He's a very famous director, has directed a ton of things.
Star Trek, the new Star Trek generation movies.
So the writers are Chris Terrio.
Chris Terrio doesn't have... I have a yikes next to his
name. I have a yikes for this whole writers thing.
Okay, well, Chris Terrio worked on Justice League
yikes.
And Batman versus Superman.
Oh, no. Good thing J.J. Abrams is there to support the whole thing.
I was like, oh, God.
Because he's also a writer. He's also a screenplay and story collaborator.
Yes.
The story is also by Derek Connolly and Colin Trevorrow, who directed like the Jurassic Park film.
And Derek Connolly, though, he wrote for the Jurassic World and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
But he also wrote for Detective Pikachu.
Oh, what up? And that brings us into... The degrees of Bill Nye.
All right. So as we all know, because this is not the first time we've linked Bill to his amazing spot in Pokemon Detective Pikachu, but we know that Derek Connolly did some of the writing for that film. A wonderful film. And Bill Nye was a main character.
He was, I would say, the evil character.
He was, but he's no stranger to playing the bad guy.
No, he's not. And happy birthday, Bill Nye, on the day of this recording. We love you.
Thank you for being you.
From your family at Too Many Trailers. That was
Degrees of Bill Nye.
And we don't want to forget that the characters are by George Lucas.
Of course. Also, fun fact, there's a Legends of Tomorrow episode where they go back in time and they are with another character who's a film student, and his assistant is George Lucas. And because of this big battle, fight that happens on the set or outside the set, George Lucas decides to never become a filmmaker, and it literally changes such the course of history that like two of the legends became who they were because of Star Wars. So like one of them was like, I became an inventor because of that, and without that, I didn't invent the atom suit. And Haywood is like, and because of that, I didn't decide to become a historian like Indiana Jones, so I didn't do this, and that's why I lost my powers. So the whole thing is that they have to convince George
Lucas
to go back to film school.
Holy shit, that's an amazing plot point. Good on you, Legends
so
of Tomorrow.
So good. Like, Legends of Tomorrow does all this wacky shit. That's perfect.
That's incredible. Honestly, for as bad as that show is, they just don't give
it's
two fucks.
It's really good, though.
They just don't give two fucks because,
they're
just
like,
whatever.
No, they're the black sheep comedy
show
of the
CW. All right, so who's the composer? Is it our main boy?
I can tell you it sure is not
what?
Alexandra Desplat.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, are you kidding
That's
me?
That's how I felt when I thought it was Alexandra Desplat. It's our... main guy, I guess, maybe? He's not our main bitch.
No, that's
Alan Silvestri.
Thank you. Main bro is Randy Newman.
No, he's our good bro.
Good bro, excuse me.
Sorry.
Sorry, Randy Newman. Fear good.
We haven't made up, I don't think, a name because we've not done...
Well, I've only done one, so...
No, he did something else not too long ago.
That's true. I don't have the energy to search it up at the moment.
Neither do I. It's fine.
So...
We didn't have a name for him, so we can name him
whatever. Let's name him now.
Our good friend.
Bad bitch. John Williams.
Poor John Williams. Our bad bitch,
John Williams, I think it might be.
All right.
Honestly, if we ever get into,
have to meet any composers, I'm just gonna start off with an apology.
Just be like, first of all, John Williams, we love you. I'm so sorry for...
We do not use bitch in a derogatory way.
It's the millennial and Gen Z way of being like, you're amazing.
It's a compliment.
Anyway, so
John Williams.
Inclusivity.
Appropriate language. Anyway, so John Williams, you know him.
You know him. Indiana Jones, Star Wars.
Jaws.
That one.
Everything else under the sun.
Literally, he is just, you know him. That's all we're going to say.
Yep.
So the cast, we have Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley,
boop, boop.
Billy Lord, Carrie Fisher, archival footage, moment of silence. Okay, we have Mark Hamill, Ian McDiarmid, which I didn't know that's how his name was spelled. It was very,
How does he spell his name?
There's an A in there, and I was very,
I-A?
McDiarmid.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, and his last name.
Yeah.
I thought you meant his first name. I kind of see where the A might go.
Kelsey, there's an A in the name Ian, okay?
Oh, interesting.
There's Oscar Isaac. We have Carrie Russell.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. Kelsey
just made his face like, what? And I was like, that's how I felt when I saw it.
We have Domhnall Gleeson, Lupita Nyong'o, she's back as Magnata, Billy Dee Williams, who actually, you know, hands up, Rainbow Connection, actually just came out as genderqueer, I believe.
Who did?
Billy Dee Williams, I want to say. You can edit this out if it's wrong.
I don't know this person. We'll look
Lando Calrissian in the original films.
Dude, I don't know their real names.
We have Kelly Marie Tran.
We love her.
We have Richard E. Grant, and you know him from Can You Ever Forgive Me? He got an Oscar nomination from that role. We have John Boyega. We have Junis Suotamo. You know him as Chewbacca.
Oh my god.
Let's try it again. Chewbacca!
Oh my god, that was the funniest thing that's ever happened in my entire life. Wow, that's pork.
We have Anthony Daniels, Naomi Ackie, and Domhnall Monaghan. You know him from Lost.
And from
Lord of the Rings.
My preferred thing is that he was a hobbit.
He was a hobbit. Also, not Penny's boat. Okay. So do you want to jump right into the trailer discussion?
Yeah.
I mean, we're there.
What kind of background are we going to talk about?
I don't know.
Star Wars?
We love it. Here we go.
If you want to hear about our background, you can listen to our episode Chewy from the Block.
With our guest, Brendan. we just talked about it.
And if you want to hear about our relationship with Star Wars, please
scroll all the way to the back and please forgive us for our poor audio quality. We had $30 microphones. anyways, no intro.
Also, the opening.
Ugh.
Oh my god. Because also, if they had fucking had an mini trailer at the beginning, it would have ruined the whole vibe
it would
of
have
the
been,
like deep breathing.
Made no sense, first of all. Because it would just like ruin everything.
It would ruin the atmosphere, like the feeling. Like you get this really great atmosphere right from the beginning with her, like with the breathing and like the dark screen, and then it's slowly coming up Lucasfilm and all of that. Which reminded me a lot of the first trailer I don't remember which number trailer it was for The Last Jedi, but where they're like breathe.
Yes. Breathe. Yes.
And then you like come in from black like onto Rey's face just like that. It was a very strong memory and I loved that opening.
It was a callback and it was a great, well done callback.
Right, and I really loved how it worked in that trailer, and so it really worked well for me in this trailer.
Mm-hmm. I like that I like that there was a voiceover. I mean, I could have preferred it just being like her just breathing, but I'm like, I'm happy that it, because it was more of like an internal monologue or her remembering it like as a conversation.
And it's very Star Wars.
It is so Star Wars. It is like peak Star Wars. What's
Star Wars without a little like
familial voiceover?
Right. And without a little like, let me tell you about yourself.
Right. And I feel like it was really like just a such a zen moment, which was so nice because most Star Wars trailers are like action, action, action. And this was more like, okay, let's take a deep breath. Let's remember our roots. Let's remember right. what we want to watch. But also, this is something that you're most likely going to freak out over. So I feel like let's just bring it down a notch.
Yeah. Which I really like that. That's how they did the really good job on the trailers for The Last Jedi also.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like these two have had really good
trailers,
just like well edited and like well thought out.
Right. Speaking of the trailer and the title mostly, so it's called The Rise of Skywalker, which I'm really interested. I know there's a big debate as to who Rey actually is. And I feel like it's kind of like being very like blatant about
spoiler alert.
Well, kind of theory based.
Because Kylo Ren tells her parents are nobodies.
Yeah, but like, okay.
In The Last Jedi. So it's like, was that true?
Right, or was that manipulative?
Because like Anakin Skywalker came with a really high midichlorian level for no reason.
Yes.
It didn't come from a long line of Jedis. So it's like, you could end up, she could be this random person who ended up having a high amount of midichlorians and is a very
just
like
random, it just
Jedi.
Happens to be. Which I find it too...
Which is how Anakin's story started, though.
Yes, it is. And I just feel like it's just too...
No, I
know. Nose, though. Especially with the voiceover being like, remember your roots. Remember that your generations of family have fought all... And I'm just like, okay, so she's the Skywalker.
But the Skywalkers don't have a long line of generations of being Jedi.
What?
It's like two people.
That's pretty fucking long. Anakin lived a long life.
No, I know, but I'm like, it's not like generations-wise.
Right, it's not, I mean, true, okay. Maybe so it's like a Jedi thing where...
I think it's the Jedi.
Jedi.
Like,
okay.
Like, you have the power of all
of the Jedi.
And it's like in Rogue One, when the other guy is like, I am one with the Force.
The Force.
You know, that scene? I mean, even though, like, he's not in, like, other people are like, you're not really a Jedi. And he's like, I'm a Jedi because I believe I am a Jedi.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And, like, he feels that, like...
The Force. He
intrinsic
feels
the Force.
Yeah.
And, like, he feels connected. And I think, like, for me, like, that's how I connected it. And I was like, why is this called The Rise of Skywalker when he just died?
So, I mean...
So
I just find it really interesting that they're like, oh, it's the Rise of Skywalker. I mean, a lot of people are theorizing that that Rey will actually become, I don't particularly agree with this line of thought, but she will become kind of like the next Darth Vader, essentially. Which I think
we explored that in the last one.
We already
explored
it,
I feel like they should have named the second movie in this trilogy, The Rise of Skywalker,
right.
Because it would have been about
so much more sense.
Luke, like, coming back and training Rey and all of that.
And I think...
And then this should have been The Last Jedi because Rey...
And I think that, you know, Mark Hamill's character should have... Okay, spoiler warning for all previous Star Wars. I think he really should have died in this upcoming one. It would have been made...
Right.
It would have made it a lot more, like, cathartic, especially because that was the end of his story.
Right.
And I feel like there's really no... reason he should have died in the other one, other than like, yes, his story ended, but I feel like it just would have been more cathartic if it was. I think that it just
and
like,
I don't know if he's actually gonna be dead.
Well, that's how Jedi's die, though.
I'm sorry, what?
I think that's how Jedi's die, though, isn't it?
No, I know, but like, could he come back?
I mean,
or could he come back as like a vision, kind of like a
hologram, maybe? I feel like he can come
stuff.
Back as like a hologram on a R2 unit, so I feel like. That could be possibly how he can come. Because he's listed in, like, this whole cast is a very big spoiler, I mean, as to who's in this film.
Right.
I mean, you have Maz Kanata, you have, obviously, Oscar Isaac, you have John Boyega, so obviously they're coming back. But Mark Hamill, obviously, because he's dead, unless they're using, like, flashback footage,
Right. Which
I don't think J.J. Abrams usually does, though. So he mostly just, he doesn't go, like, back,
right. You
know? But yeah. I don't know. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I'm curious. I'm not even looking at a thesaurus, but I'm curious as to how they're going to relate it to the Skywalker. Like, who is the true Skywalker? Like, why are they bringing back Skywalker? Why are they doing this?
Well, I mean, that is Ben's last name.
Right, it is Ben. Yeah.
I mean, he's not his last name, but it's like he is a Skywalker.
He literally is a Skywalker. Do you think that, like, all the... I hate to say this, but do you think that they're going to find out that Kylo Ren and... Rey's character are related?
I don't know. I felt like we did. I was happy with this trailer because it wasn't so, let's show you how Kylo Ren and Rey are like intertwined and related,
right,
and all
exactly.
of that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, good. Because honestly, like, we did that the last film. It was the whole last film was like,
was
let's
all
find
about
out how
the
Ben
family.
And Rey are connected, and are they connected, and what kind of
psychic
link
like
do they share, and all of that,
on,
la la la
like,
la, and I was like, all right,
we
calm
get
it down.
It.
It's like a Horcrux
right, exactly.
scenario, honestly. But so I was really happy with this trailer that there was a really big separation.
It was just like a one little like kind of like focus on his helmet, and it was like great,
right? And
perfect.
Like, you know, he's going to be a main character,
right,
because
which is
he's
perfect.
A main character.
He's a huge character in the trilogies, I
right?
Mean,
So I was happy. I don't think it's going to be a big thing about their connection anymore.
Which I think is going to
be
so
blessing. Because they're
done.
They're so separated now
since
the end.
If they do, it's going to be such a blessing.
Yeah.
To the film. And I think it's going to go back to the kind of the original of the trilogy.
Right.
And I feel like it's going to, like, okay, we're going to go back to, like, what we know and what, I don't want to say what works, because there were some things in...
I thought The Last Jedi really did work, though.
I like, there were parts where I didn't like, and, like, there were parts where, like, I was like, okay, like, I love this, and there were parts where I was like, I understand why they're doing this.
Right.
There were parts where I was like,
I thought it was interesting, like the Kylo Ren, Rey, like, connection and trying to explore that, and
yeah.
I thought that was good, because we haven't really done that in the Star Wars
no,
film.
No, we haven't.
I mean?
That was the only Star Wars film where it actually did. I think it took too much of the plot.
Yeah, we haven't done, like, a big, like, almost, like, mini character study like we're doing for Rey, which is a lot, and I feel like us, like, this keeping us in the dark about, like, who Rey's family is and all that stuff is, like...
I think it just needs to move. I think it needs to kind of pick up the pace, and I feel like this is what the trailer is going to be doing, so... the movie, I should say, is going to be doing. But, I mean, I particularly like this trailer, which also, no idea if this is a teaser or not. Because it was, like, listed as, like, first official trailer, and then there were, like, four other things where it's, like, a teaser trailer. I'm like, but it's also 2.5 minutes
right.
long. So we went on iTunes trailers. Thank you, iTunes trailers. And we were able to, not an ad, we were able to kind of be like, okay, this is at least the first trailer.
Yes, it's listing it as the first trailer.
And it was, did
so
it really...
it could be a teaser, it could be a long teaser.
Who the fuck
is knows?
Who knows?
This is the one we're covering.
It was good.
Everybody knows this trailer.
But it was good because of the fact that it didn't reveal, I mean, it didn't reveal much, but it revealed just enough, I feel like.
They were like, let's remind you that there are large characters and big names in this film,
which
all
is
right?
all you need
let's,
for a Star Wars trailer.
Let's look at Rey. Let's watch her be a badass for 25 seconds, and then let's cut to Kylo Ren, and then let's show Princess Leia, and then let's do this. And I was like,
it's like, all right. I mean, I think it did what it needed to do. It didn't need to be such a big thing. I mean, it is
and
a big thing.
And it's a first trailer.
It's
like,
a first
this
trailer.
This is like a common,
this
like,
is like what you see at Comic-Cons. I'm sure that this was revealed at San Diego, I'm sure. Or was it revealed? No, it wasn't
so.
Revealed. I
no,
think
it was
revealed
reported.
During the... Anyway. It
but,
was... Yeah.
It's that very common... like, first trailer, like, you don't get any background, you don't get any plot, you're just getting these main points, and you're getting the
but
emotion.
It worked.
I know, I'm not saying...
No, I know.
Like
I'm just, like, surprised, because usually that doesn't work for us. Especially because of the fact that we've covered so many blockbusters.
So, I feel like when it works for us is when we already have a connection.
That's
why
so
it worked
true.
For the Avengers
yes.
film trailers. It's why it's working for this. It's why it's worked for, like, one other thing.
Yeah, and it's just because of the fact that we already have the background to it.
And we're highly emotional people.
Yes. Highly sensitive people, as
that
I would
too.
Say.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, this film was fun. I mean, this trailer was fun.
It was all fan service.
It was all fan service.
And I think that's why
I'm
we
not
enjoyed
mad
it.
About
I know, I'm not mad
sometimes
about it
Sometimes I'm
either.
Mad about fan service in certain parts. This I was not mad
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
I think it just provided a very big breath of, like, fresh air to, like, the Star Wars trailerverse, and I feel like, because a lot of it's all, like, brooding, dark, and this one was like, everyone's a badass in here. Let's enjoy it. Let's have fun. And so I thought it was nice.
Yeah, and they really hit those, you know, those big quotable lines, like the 1,000 generations live within you, and the no one's ever really gone, and then the laughing, and then you could speculate on who's laughing. It sounds like Snoke, but Snoke died, and then is it Palpatine, back, and know? Who is it, and all this.
Who may he be?
Who could it be?
So, any other notes?
Not really. I looked up who the cinematographer was. Because I was interested in, like, who did this and, like, if he's done a lot of other things and all that. His name's Dan Mindel. He hasn't done a ton of stuff, but he has done a lot with J.J. Abrams.
Okay. Which makes sense. I mean, he's a good... J.J. Abrams makes good blockbusters.
Yeah.
Makes good stuff.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with him.
Yeah. So we're both going to see this film.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to see it in the theater. It's not even a question. I'm not seeing it opening night. I just don't have the energy to do it opening night. I mean,
it's a lot to go to a film on opening night.
I'm okay with seeing this film, like, a couple days after, let the crowds kind of settle. You know, I'm sure that Bargain Tuesday will be packed. So
buy tickets in advance.
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably see it on a Wednesday or something. Maybe on Christmas with my family, but who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll see. I'll definitely try to see it in the theaters, but I'm not going to force myself.
Well, just a reminder that generally most Star Wars films come to our local IMAX.
I saw Rise of the Jedi in IMAX.
Yeah, we saw The Last Jedi there too for Christmas when it came out, like my whole family.
Yeah, it was fun. I do like... our local IMAX is actually at our local aquarium, so I really like going there, because then you can be like, look at the ducks, or like, look at the seals, and then be like, okay, we're going to go see a movie, and then just like hop on over to the IMAX theater, which is nice. So
yeah, it's nice that we have a local IMAX theater.
That is literally 2 steps away from my apartment.
Honestly, like, we can see it from Kelsey's window.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, we can. Yeah, we technically, yes.
If you squint. All right. So you want to do a little business?
Let's do a little business. Let me get in my business chair. It's just me sitting up in my chair.
In the same chair you've been sitting in, I love this.
So if you want to continue to listen to us, you can always listen to us in iTunes, Anchor, Overcast, Spotify, and a few Google Play, and some other, you know, players that we can post on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. You can subscribe to us in iTunes or any of the aforementioned player platforms. You can rate us 5 stars. That gives us a little bit of a boost in who listens to this show.
If you have any thoughts you want to share with us, do you want to talk to us about Little Women, Star Wars, any big theories about anything you want to share with the class, we're always happy to hear about it.
We're your teachers.
I was thinking we were your peers.
Share with
it's
the class.
It's all right. Everything's fine. We could be like a cool TA.
We'll be the cool TA that like sits backwards on a chair.
With like a backwards baseball cap. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking of a really queer, like really cool TA. This is great.
This is great. Anyway, moving on.
So you can chat with us, interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Too Many Trailers. That's TWO Many Trailers.
And if you have any longer thoughts than 280 characters,
dear God, if you have a long Star Wars theory, just email us.
Like, don't even go to Twitter, or you can link us to the aforementioned any like Reddit posts. Like, look here, this is
read
what people
this
are thinking.
Theory.
So you can always. Email us at toomanytrailers@gmail.com. That's TWOManyTrailers@gmail.com.
Alright, we are getting close to the end of the year, folks.
Yeah, we have a bonus episode coming out next week, and then we have our year in review, a very daunting task for us, especially because we have to round up
quite a number.
Quite a number, and then watch all of them and then discuss all of them.
It's a long process.
And then I have to edit the episode.
It's gonna be fine.
Everything will be okay.
Some really good stuff to look forward to before the year's done.
Yeah, we do. So, some parting words before we close out the episode. Don't judge a movie by its trailer. Leave that up to us. Have a great one ever. Talk to you soon. Bye.